Welcome to the Contemporary Art Gallery's audio guide for the exhibition Mayor of the Village by Douglas Watt. This audio guide has a running time of approximately 8.5 minutes. Before turning our attention to the exhibition, I want to acknowledge that at the Contemporary Art Gallery, we carry out our work on the unceded and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. As a predominantly settler-led organization, we acknowledge our responsibility to each of these nations who have stewarded this land, water, and air since time immemorial. We are actively committed to building sustained, reciprocal relationships with Indigenous communities and supporting the work of reconciliation and Indigenous sovereignty. This season, we are pleased to present Douglas Watt's exhibition, Mayor of the Village, in Keck's Alvin Balkind Gallery. Known for his meticulously rendered sculptures of social architectures, from bars and bookstores to clinics and change rooms, Douglas Watt's work takes up the complex relationship between public space and the construction of self. Building on legacies of appropriation, assemblage, and the ready-made, Watt's practice draws on quotidian materials and forms, producing model, set, and prop-like works that engage questions about the performance of everyday life. Watt stages the Alvin Balkind Gallery with the trappings of a cafe, referencing the international coffee house aesthetic popular in the 1990s and 2000s. A pair of softly glowing pendant lights frames the entryway, with traces of a luminescent rainbow glowing on the floor. As you enter the gallery, you see on the left wall a patchwork of boothbacks rendered with novelty and patterned fabrics, and a chalkboard menu adorned with paillettes that constitute a crossword puzzle of food items. The materials reference a design both dated and comforting, one that signals the cafe as a natural gathering place, a seemingly uncomplicated site of community and camaraderie. On the back wall of the gallery, Watt renders a crude mural of a coffee cup, whose design is traced from the back of a cafe chair found in a Davy Street laundromat. On top of this work, he has installed a pair of sculptures taking the form of mugs. Watt describes these as imageless artworks, the void of their dark interiors framed neatly by white enamel-painted rims. The exterior mesh of the sculptures, however, reveals a tangle of Rube Goldberg-esque forms, gesturing both to coffee's propulsive social force, as well as the persistent machinations, economic, aesthetic, and otherwise, that structure even the most casual of communal interactions. On the walls to the right of the gallery's entrance, Watt hangs a show within a show, bringing together a selection of the intricate model works he has come to be known for over the past several years. Referencing tropes of the cafe art display, these works appear suspended on a hanging system by string. In each work, Watt contends broadly with the question of how to make art that addresses queer life absent the inevitable shortcomings of representation. Turning to the spaces and places that ostensibly sustain a queer public sphere, Watt creates dense, memory-laden reconstructions of these sites, at once methodical, critical, and tributary. The first model on the far left of the left wall recreates a laundromat on Davy Street. Pushing at the idea of what makes a space queer, Watt reflects on the laundromat as both an erotically charged place, one that both features prevalently in gay pornography and lore, and a kind of regenerative space, washing away stains both physical and psychic. To its right is Bath/SRO, one of the first models Watt created. Looser in style and more abstracted in form, Watt based this work on a bathhouse located above a Davy Street dollar and party supply store, one where he sources many of the supplies he uses in his work. The title of the work nods to the bathhouse's role not just as a site of sexual exchange, but of low-cost accommodation, often serving as the cheapest room in Vancouver on any given night. The third model sees Watt memorializing famed Vancouver bookstore Little Sister's original location at 1221 Thurlow, where it occupied the second floor of a now-demolished house from 1983 to 1996. recreated entirely from images seen in the 2002 Erlyn Weissman documentary, Little Sisters vs. Big Brother, which traces the bookstore's landmark 20-year legal battle with Canada Customs over the seizure of books deemed obscene. This model is the only work in the exhibition Watt created without visiting the site. The books that appear in the work are a speculative recollection, drawn from multiple imperfect archives, including a trove of used books donated to Little Sisters, internet searches, and images saved to Watt's phone. The next two models catalog bars located a block apart on Davy Street, the Pump Jack Pub and Numbers Cabaret. Pump Jack is the first time he began documenting a site in order to recreate it. 3 years later, Numbers was produced amidst COVID restrictions, when many of the spaces captured in Watt's works were closed to the public. Working from a combination of recall and a private tour arranged during the bar's closure, the resulting work at once traces the labyrinthine building's idiosyncratic history and architecture, built around an old home, the space previously served as a brothel and an army housing facility, while capturing the spirit, if not exactitude, of its current life as a gay bar. Turning the corner, we find two more models. On the left, Watt takes on the former Butte Street Sexual Health Clinic. Much like Bath/SRO, this early work takes a more truncated approach to its namesake space, with a composition anchored in rhythm and symmetry rather than spatial verisimilitude. Watt extends the carpeted hallway that sits between the waiting area and clinical spaces, suggesting a longer, more doomful trek between the two than the now-closed facility actually afforded. To the right is Watt's most recent model, in which he recreates the Davy Street Cafe on which the elements in the exhibition at large are based. Evoking the self-reflexiveness at the heart of Watt's project, the artist engages here the cafe as both an idealized site of social exchange, a space to congregate, debate, eavesdrop, and otherwise perform socially, and a densely layered system that can never be perfectly captured, occupied, or known. The scene Watt presents in the work is an unruly one, replete with animals on the tables, a nod to the cafe's wildlife-themed table numbers, and a fully visible backup house, with imaginations of the space's operations on full view to the space's patrons. This concludes the audio exhibition guide for Douglas Watt's exhibition. Thank you for listening and for your visit to the gallery. If you have any thoughts or feedback on this guide or the exhibition more generally, please don't hesitate to share this with the front desk attendant or be in touch with us at learning@cagvancouver.org. We invite you to visit cagvancouver.org for further details on the rest of this season's programming, which includes a range of talks and tours that provide further insight into the works on view. Thanks again for listening.